In Matthew chapter 6, if you would, let's go there rather quickly. You should already be there in your place. And for context sake, let's establish the verses before. As we've been reading, verse 31, if you would, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Help me to be a blessing through the preaching of thy holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for standing. We come to the conclusion of this chapter. We've spent several weeks dealing with what I've called Dr. Jesus and his prescription for anxiety. We've learned over the last several weeks that seems to be more and more of a common issue, more of a permeating problem, not just amongst God's people, not just among the world's people, but amongst God's people. When we talk about this issue of anxiety, we're talking about uneasiness about uncertain things. And often I hear more and more saved folk talking about how stressed they are and how wearied they are and how shaky they are about situations and how run down and how their mind is in turmoil. And we find it so often amongst God's people. And I love the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ incorporates this into this great sermon to remind us. And remember, the whole thought, Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 7 is the presentation of the Messiah, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Somebody say amen right there. He is king. And by the way, he'll always be king. And we look in prospect to the day where he sits on the literal throne of Jerusalem and he rules and reigns himself. And by the way, of his kingdom, there will be no end. And we look forward to that day. But he looks at these, his disciples, his subjects, his servants, his subordinates, if you would. And he's simply saying to them, yes, there's coming a day where we look prophetically to my sitting on the very throne of Jerusalem. But aren't you glad spiritually today, beloved? We don't have to wait till he gets to Jerusalem to let him rule and reign in our hearts. We can let him be master. He can be Lord. He can be magistrate. And he can be king right now. We spent several weeks and months here back in September as we started in Matthew chapter 5. And he showed us those beatitudes and that perfect blessedness and how we can begin to enjoy this Christian life. Hey, listen, I don't want to tolerate the Christian life. I want to enjoy the Christian life. And it's the best life worth living. Amen. The only life worth living is the life of serving Jesus Christ. Every week I enjoy serving the Lord. And I hope you do too. But how in the world can you enjoy God when you always worry? How in the world can you dedicate your life to the service of the King when you're worried about whether you can even make it? Huh? And so Dr. Jesus is giving us a prescription. And we've looked at it week by week as we began, deciding not to worry. And you say, well, that sounds pretty simple. Yeah, but it's not as simple as we make it sound sometimes because we keep worrying. And so he said, decide. Just decide, I'm not going to worry. I am not going to get my life caught up and stymied by worrying about the things in life that are not my job to worry about. So he says, take no thought. And by the way, talking about what shall we eat or wherewithal shall we be clothed. And he said, here's the motivation for decision not to worry. He said, discern God's works. The next time you're worrying about what you have and what you need, look at the flowers they grow. Look at the fields they grow. Look at the fowls they're taken care of. And if God takes care of his creation, creation. Surely he'll take care of his children. Distinguish yourself from worldliness. After all these things, do the Gentiles seek? He said, when you get caught up in being anxious about the things that you need, he said, you're acting like you've never been redeemed. You act like you've never been blood washed. You have a father. They pray to idols that cannot talk, inanimate objects that cannot hear. They pray to statues that cannot respond. But aren't you glad that when I kneel down, I'm not praying on some grove. I'm not talking to some statue. I'm not reading some rosary to some idol of stone. I'm glad when I get down on my knees, I talk to a living God. I talk to an able God. I talk to a powerful God. I talk to an all-knowing God. I talk to an ever-present God. I talk to a God who doesn't change. I talk to a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of grace, a God of justice, a God that's long-suffering, a God that's patient, a God that's good, a God that keeps his promises, a God that will never ever fail me. And I'm glad that when I talk to God, I can know that he hears and he helps. Amen. So we've looked at all of those tonight. As we look at the last several weeks, as we studied the decision not to worry. And then we went on to discern God's works. We continued with distinguishing ourselves from worldliness. Last week, we are devoting ourselves to God's will. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You hear that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't give God what's left. Give God what's right. Amen. And seek ye first, making God your priority, making God your passion, making God your pursuit. Amen. And when God becomes your passion and your pursuit and your priority, then God then gives you your provision. And he said, when you quit running after things and you start running after me, you'll get me and I'll give you the things. That's good preaching. No question about it. And oftentimes we're left empty-handed because we are too busy running after stuff and not running after God. As the heart panteth for the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Here's what Paul said. He said, I'm going to make it my life's aim to get to know Jesus better. And all the things represented in stuff that I had before I met him, I count them but lost. Why? I count them but done, that I may win Christ. And my friend, there's an excellency and a great fulfillment and a very exclusive satisfaction. When you fall in love with Jesus, you find out he's all you need. And when you get all you need, he gives you all you want too. Yeah, because when you fall in love with him, he not only gives you what you want, but he gives you what to want. Some of you say, the Bible said, if I delight myself in the Lord, he'll give me the desires of my heart. Having a lot of things I desire I don't have. Yeah, but you got your desires from the wrong person. And if you delighted in the Lord, you get the right desires. And he'd have no choice but to give them to you because he's the one that told you to want them. I wish somebody would say amen. Devote to God's will. Let's determine. Let's determine by the grace of God. We're going to put the kingdom first. We're going to put the kingdom first. Now, look here at verse number 34. I just want you to write this last subject down. And I want it to be titled this, Do It the Right Way. Do it the right way. Decide not to worry. Discern God's works. Distinguish yourself from worldliness. Devote yourself to God's will. And then lastly, do it the right way. You're taking notes down tonight. Write this down. I'll move quickly. Reject anxiety about the future. Reject anxiety about the future. Look at verse 34. Take therefore, that word therefore, find out what it's therefore in context to all that he said already. He said, now that I've told you that God will take care of you, now that I've told you that God looks out for you, now that I've told you that the kingdom ought to be your most supreme pursuit, he said, take therefore no thought for the morrow. Here's what he's saying. If you're going to do this thing the right way, you've got to quit being anxious about what's going to happen in the future. Many Christians are stressing about the future. Now, here's why you got to reject anxiety about the future. Number one, it is iniquity to commit that. Now, hear me now. For a child of God to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow is sin. You don't like that, do you? But it's the truth. He said, therefore, take no thought. That's a command. Take no thought. So the first reason why I don't need to worry about tomorrow is because it's wrong. Therefore, to him that know too good that doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. Anybody here want to sin? Stop worrying then. Stop worrying then. Well, preacher, pray. I just don't know. Have you prayed? I don't know what's going to happen this week. You don't need to know. Stop worrying about it. Why? Because it's wrong for you to worry. It's an iniquity to commit this anxiety. By the way, not only do you reject it because it's an iniquity to commit it, but you also reject it because of your inability to change it. I'm worried about tomorrow. What you worrying going to do? Nothing you worry about is going to change a thing. I never forget. I used to hear Mom when she was going through cancer. Three times in cancer. And I remember when she first got it in 1990, 92. And they used to ask her, are you worried about cancer? I don't worry about cancer. I said, what are you worried about? I worry about the beds being made and the carpets being vacuumed and the furniture being dusted and the floors being swept and the dishes being washed and all of the clothes being ironed. She said, why do you worry about those things? She said, because I can change them. I don't worry about cancer. That's God's business. And the truth of the matter is, you can't be worried about tomorrow. You have any business fooling with tomorrow. And you couldn't fool with tomorrow if you didn't have business. Listen to me. You have to determine by the grace of God. It's an iniquity to commit it. I've got an inability to change it. And by the way, I have got an incapacity to control it. You can't do anything about tomorrow. The only thing you can do about tomorrow is make sure you do right today. Reject anxiety about the future. Secondly, if you would, rest in the assurance of the facts. Rest in the assurance of the facts. Watch this now. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. By the way, you realize this. No matter what you do tonight, the clock is going to strike 12. And no matter how much you worry about tomorrow, the sun is going to rise. And no matter how much you worry about tomorrow, the next day is going to come. So worrying is not going to change anything. But let me tell you something. There is some rest that I can have in tomorrow. Listen to me. I don't know what's going to happen on the highway when I drive tomorrow. I don't know what my body is going to do tomorrow. I don't know what the weather is going to be like tomorrow. I don't know what my bank account is going to look like tomorrow. I don't know whether my children are going to be saved tomorrow. I don't know what's going to exactly happen by way of terrorism in America tomorrow. There are so many things that I cannot predict. I cannot exactly know what's going to happen. But the problem with the believer is we look at all of those uncertainties, and that's where we base our performance. But let me tell you something. There are some things that I do know about tomorrow, whether it's raining or it's shining, whether I've got money or whether I'm broke, whether my friends are with me, whether I stand alone, whether the calamity shows up or it's a great day, whether everything works out for my favor or whether it doesn't. By the way, I don't know who's going to be in office in November, but I'm not really worried about that, because I know one thing about tomorrow. When the clock strikes 12, when the sun shines in the morning, there's one person that will still be ruling. He'll still be reigning. He'll still be in charge. And if nothing goes right tomorrow, God will still be God. And I rest in that assurance. The faithfulness of God. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Hey now, listen. Listen. Go to bed tonight knowing that tomorrow God will be faithful. You hear me? Tomorrow God will be faithful. You may walk in the doctor in the days ahead, and the good report he gave you last time may not be as good a report this time. But I tell you one thing that hadn't changed since the last doctor visit. God is still faithful. You may go into your job this week and find out that what seems secure may all of a sudden be lost. And where you sat last week in perfect comfortability now may be snatched away from you. You may have no job and you may wonder how in the world in the next few months is my family going to make it. But could I assure you one thing that remained the same? God is faithful. You may look at some bills this week and think there's no way I can find enough money to pay all these bills. There's no way my body can make it. There's no way I can face the calamity that lies ahead. But I want you to tell you on the word of God and on personal experience, we serve a faithful God. He's always in his spot. He always mans his post. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. We rest in that assurance. Yes, we do. The faithfulness of God. And by the way, rest in this assurance. The favor that is good. Romans 8:28. Wait a minute, Paul. I don't know what shall befall me. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He itemizes all of his trials, difficulties, his calamities, his struggles, his infirmities. Paul said, good gracious, I'm going to Jerusalem knowing not the things that shall happen to me. But I like Romans 8:28. I see no shadow of doubt in the voice of Paul when he said, and we know that all things work together for good. You hear me? You hear me? You must not heard me. Some of you didn't say nothing. And we know that all things work together for good. Hey, let me tell you something. Do you love God? Are you called according to his purpose? Then stop worrying about tomorrow. Hey, listen to me. The devil can throw everything at me, but God's going to throw some good at me. The devil can throw trials at me, but God's going to throw some good at me. You say, preacher, I didn't have a good day. Well, you didn't have a good day because you didn't focus on your good God. Because all of the mess that happens in your life, I tell people all the time, Satan is messing, but God is doing more blessing. So I'm going to do less stressing, and I'm going to do some more resting. Why? Because I've got a good God. He's always good. He doesn't choose to be good. He doesn't try to be good. He doesn't stumble into being good. He doesn't accidentally be good. He's not sometimes good. He's God and good because God is good. You got to be a rest in that. That's the problem with your anxiety. You're looking at all the bad stuff. And all the uncertain stuff. And all of the trials, Shelly's watching me. She told me, keep taking the glasses off. She's an ophthalmologist and she's trying to get me in contacts. She cringes every time I pull these glasses off. I'm thinking about you, Shelly, but I just can't get it together. She just cringes and then she sees me, he wipes it with a dirty sweat rag. He's messing up the lenses and just her, all of the ophthalmology juices in her are clogging right now. Pray her strength in the Lord. The faithfulness of God. And the favor that is good. Listen, we got a good God. I'm saying, come on now. I say we got a good God. Well, act like you mean amen. Amen means so be it. It means you agree with me. It means, then don't toss and turn tonight. Now, if you ate something you shouldn't have eaten. I'm seeing here I go again. If you ate something you shouldn't have eaten. And you're tossing and turning because of that, then that's a different story. You need to think twice before you eat that late. But most Christians aren't tossing and turning from indigestion. They're tossing and turning from anxiety. About stuff they can't change. I had a bad night. Why? Because I'm worried. Well, why don't you just think about God? Why don't you think about God? By the way, just remember the last time you were worried and he came through. Remember the last time you said, I hope, and he came through. Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And by the way, faith moves God. But you and I could testify on many fronts that we were faithless, and we were fearful, and we were anxious. And it was not the ground of our faith that moved God. It was the mercy of God that said, in spite of the fact you didn't trust in me, I'm going to show up anyhow. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Rest in the assurance of facts. Lastly, and I'm going to let you go home. Y'all don't ever leave. I'm just standing before you and make me sorry that I stopped. Retain your awareness in the fight. Retain your awareness in the fight. It's an interesting statement in the last part of verse 34. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Kind of confusing statement. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What, Jesus, what are you saying? Here's what he's saying. Today has enough problems in it for you not to be worrying about tomorrow. And here's what he's saying. You tripping off of what's going to happen next week, and you getting beat up this hour. I wish somebody say amen. I've never seen so many Christians that have made so many meticulous plans about where they're going to be in life in 3 years and stinking it up right now. Some of your kids right now have already made plans about how you're going to spend your money when you make it in the league. I'm trying to tell you, quit worrying about making it in the league and make your bed. You understand what I'm saying? I'm working on a business plan when I start my business. Get up tomorrow and go to work on time. You know what I'm saying? We are visionaries, so we think. I'm a planner. I just have to set things in order so that when I arrive, I'm adequately prepared. You know what? Here's what Jesus is saying. You're so busy trying to jump ahead and fight the devil next year, and you got two black eyes right now. So he said, retain your awareness. You know what he's saying? I know there's a theory of the world about people that just live in the here and now and make no plans for tomorrow. But Christ is not saying don't worry about the future, simply saying you don't set aside or you don't live in a way that will protect your future. But what he is saying, he's saying get some in the now in your system to determine, I'm going to be a good Christian today. I'm going to pray today. I'm going to read today. I'm going to sow in today. Some of you are going to start a church. You're going to go to the mission field. You're going to be the world's best preacher, but you won't read your Bible and you won't get up every day. You're going to lead people to the Lord in mass crowds, but you didn't take a visitation card tonight. Who are you fooling? I hate to invade into the privacy of your life and speak a prophetic word into your spirit tonight, but I'm here to tell you, you will be the kind of Christian next year that you are tonight. You are becoming what you will be tomorrow. You high schoolers fool around high school, you stink up college. Stink up college, you flip burgers at McDonald's. That'll be the height of your ascent in the modern world. What have you done with your life? I don't nobody make the fries like I do. And nothing wrong with working at McDonald's. What's a whole lot wrong with working at McDonald's when God wants you in a pulpit? You were too lazy. You're too lazy to read your Bible, and you think he should trust you with the pastorate? Who are you fooling? That's good preaching, Pastor. Thank you. The influx of evil. Sin is everywhere. Struggles are all the time. Suffering is unavoidable. Why in the world are you trying to go ahead to tomorrow's struggles when you're struggling with today's? Okay, now, so the influx of evil, and then right now, the importance of engagement. The importance of engagement. Okay, I ain't talking about TJ and Kayla. I ain't talking about giving her a ring and saying I'm going to marry her. That's not the engagement I'm talking about. I saw both of them. It wasn't engagement. She tells me, she fucking eyes. I ain't talking about y'all. That's a different engagement. I'm talking about, because of the influx of evil, it's important that every child of God in the present is engaged. I ask you tonight, you're in church on Sunday night. Right now, in your Christian life, are you engaged? Engaged! What do you mean? Faithful, fervent, full! Engaged. Now, here's the principle, and I'm done. Shelly, I had to wipe my head on that one. I'm going to mock you since you're talking about me. All right, listen. Here's what the Lord is saying. How in the world can you possibly fully engage your life in the building of my kingdom today if you have already borrowed some of that aggression to worry about your future? Now listen, I hate to tell you this. You are incapable of being the Christian that you're supposed to be for God now if you're stressing about later. No, not enough of you said amen. No. Listen, I wish you could see what I see when I'm preaching to some of you. Some of you come to church, and I have to guess at which one of you I'm going to get in which service. The fully engaged worshiper or the reflection of your circumstances. Some of you men, you're a shout one Sunday and you're dead the next Wednesday, and it wasn't the preacher. I guarantee you that. I'm not ragging on me, but good gracious, if I get up here and read the Bible, you all say amen. But what happens, one Sunday you focus on God, next Sunday you focus on your budget. So it affects your amen. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. And you look at that guy and say, boy, this morning he was shouting. Tonight he zoned out. You know why? Because this morning was further away from Monday morning. And as he got to Sunday night, he started thinking about that commute tomorrow. And them knuckleheads at the job. And that boss that doesn't like him. Yeah. And that check that's about to hit. Amen. I ain't thinking it for Sunday morning. I was thinking about Jesus. Sunday night, Lord, midnight. I'm calling the 800 number, crossing my fingers. That check don't hit. Out of sight, out of mind. You get out. You start there. I'll start preaching the choir. Lord, we give you glory. You nod your head. Lord, we give you glory. And somebody pulled out a checkbook right in their ties on, and you start thinking about that check you wrote. We give you all of... No, ain't no we give you nothing. We give you 6 hours to find some money to go. I go in our account. That's what we give you, God. 6 hours. It's all about focus. Retain your awareness. Retain your awareness. Get up tomorrow and say, I'm going to be the best Christian I can be. Amen. Today. What's today? August 12th. Is this the 12th? August 12th, 2012. I cannot worry about how good of a Christian I'm going to be on Monday. It's still Sunday. You hear me now? God still deserves 3 hours and 17 minutes. You can't check out on God tonight trying to get ready for tomorrow. He deserves the whole day. Somebody has got to love Jesus 100%. Labor for Jesus 100%. Worship Jesus 100%. All of Jesus, 100%. When, Pastor? Now! Amen. Worry about tomorrow when tomorrow comes. And this is where we are. This is what he's saying. The influx of evil and the importance of engagement. Sufficient for the day is evil. Here's what he's saying. I got this thing measured out. And I gave you just enough. Not more than you could handle today. And you all messed up talking about, oh Lord, honey, you know what tomorrow is. Don't you bring it up, baby. I was trying not to think about it. You know it's coming. You know what you do? You jump into tomorrow and try to handle it. And you leave God out today. So the choir is ministering in song. And you've already checked out. Where? What's the name? She right there. But she ain't there. Where is he? They stand up on the back wall. Do they hear what we hear? No. Somebody done beamed them up to tomorrow. And they have already graduated past God's clock into the next day and loaned tomorrow their aggression, thereby having none left to give to God today. Can I tell you something? Don't ever think, when I get up tomorrow, I ain't going to be able to handle it. Because I got good news for you. When the clock strikes 12, guess what? That's God's cue to reload you with mercy. I wish somebody... You talking about I use it all up today. God knows. God knows you use it all up. Amen. Matter of fact, he measured it out to correlate with your day. He knew the trials you're going to have before you had trials. And he's already gone ahead of you and giving you enough mercy and giving you enough grace and giving you enough love and giving you enough gentleness. And he's saying, go ahead and finish out today. Your mercy has not run out. And just as soon as tomorrow shows up, I got enough mercy to last you all the way to tomorrow. What about Tuesday? Go to bed. Wake up with brand new mercy. Wednesday, go to bed. Wake up with brand new mercy. And he'll give you mercy and mercy and mercy until the trumpet sounds. Then you won't need it no more. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Our Father, thank you.